This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart, and this is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guests for the day, Oanda Market Analyst Kenny Fisher, and in the United States, Trader Nick. How are you doing, guys?
Hi, Johnny. Hi, Nick.
Hi, guys. Doing well.
Let's start with the latest where you are, Nick. And we've had services PMI today and some other figures from the States. What would you like to start with?
Yeah, so this morning, the services PMI came in lighter than expected. This is following a report recently of higher than expected manufacturing PMIs. But arguably, this is the more important of the two for the United States economy, as services make up a very large component to the U.S. economy in general. So today we were forecasting here. We had a forecast of 55.7, and we actually saw 52.1. Now, the reason I'm making that distinction is because although a reading above 50 in the PMIs is a sign of growth in a part of the economy, 52.1 is growth, but it's less growth than what was forecast. And I know that for listeners who are newer to trying to understand the macro a little bit more, this can be confusing at some times. You say, well, that's a positive number, but it's sort of one of those things with markets. It's always about what people are expecting versus what actually happens. So we look at services PMIs again this morning, a little bit lighter, and did cause a bit of an effect on the US dollar. We did see the US dollar trading around 106.7 ahead of this, dropping a good 0.4% at the time of recording from those highs of the day. So a bit of a sharp move lower on the US dollar in response to this. On the stock market front, not a huge reaction, but a little bit lower from their highs this morning, at least at the time of recording this video. Those stocks seem to be in a bit of a bull run right now, seemingly unstoppable, despite a cooler services PMI number. That doesn't seem to be enough because it does seem like the market is a bit excited for the end of year seasonality strength, as well as, of course, the change in leadership, Donald Trump and his less taxes, less regulation, and a Fed that seems still willing to cut interest rates. Stocks seem very strong right now, and I don't see currently a story that cracks that. Of course, something will come along, but right now, a bit of a risk-on sentiment and frenzy into the end of the year seems at least to be the stock standard following those PMI numbers this morning.
You said something might come along. It's mid-afternoon here in London, Nick, in the morning where you are, but we will later hear from Fed Chief Jerome Powell. What are we expecting from him?
Yeah, well, so with these services PMI numbers coming a little bit short of expectations, arguably one of the reasons the stock market has not had a huge reaction to this could be that, well, those are still solid growth numbers. And that slightly less than forecasted number could also be taken as a, oh, well, the Fed may actually cut rates. It's been a bit of a toss-up in recent weeks. When looking at the Fed Watch tool, we've seen things bouncing around the 60% chance of a Fed rate cut this December in their upcoming meeting. But that back and forth definitely has markets questioning it. It's still kind of a close call, but it seems pretty likely that they will actually lean into another cut in December. And I think that a slightly lower services PMI number, although it's not a super low number, which would be a little more concerning, it's lower than expected, which may give some leniency to the Fed to actually consider a rate cut.
Meanwhile, Kenny, on this side of the Atlantic, we've had comments today from our financial chief, that's Andrew Bailey of the Bank of England. Perhaps some surprising comments regarding future interest rate cuts, Kenny.
That's correct, Johnny. Governor Bailey was giving a interview to the Financial Times, and a bit of a surprise, he was discussing inflation and other monetary matters and mentioned that the Bank of England is looking at cutting four times next year. And this was a bit of a surprise because currently the markets have priced in three cuts for next year. Bailey did mention that inflation is about 1% lower than the Bank of England had expected compared to a year ago. They've done a pretty good job with inflation. It went up a little bit to 2.3% in October, but it's still pretty close to the target. And I think if we look at our crystal ball for 2025, what's significant here is that what Governor Bailey is saying about the Bank of England could apply to other central banks as well. And what I mean by that is that we could see some really aggressive rate cutting by the other central banks if inflation falls more than expected next year. Governor Bailey has been maybe the first one to say that he plans to be aggressive next year, but that certainly could be the case with the Fed and with the European Central Bank, depending again how inflation does. But currently, central banks are in an easing cycle, and I think it could intensify if inflation cooperates and falls lower than expected. So we'll have to see what the new year brings with inflation, but I think we can be on guard for some aggressive rate cutting next year.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about this too, Johnny and Kenny, about just this concept of a broader theme we like to discuss when it comes to central banks, not just one by itself, but rather the collective. And there's been this interesting divergence, it seems, between different central banks abroad. Specifically, you know, I talk a lot about the US, of course, the Fed, which does seem willing to cut rates, but it's a lot less urgent than it seems in other places, probably leading to all that dollar strength we've seen in recent months. That's a pretty good encapsulation of the whole idea, is the Fed is seeing the US economy still staying pretty strong, a lot of readings still remaining pretty strong for the US. And meanwhile, you've got, you know, that last round of PMI data out of Europe and the UK looked pretty rough. And we'll have to keep a close eye on that, because that divergence, for our listeners who are currency traders specifically, that divergence is what creates a lot of times the big trends that we do see in the FX side of things. So keeping an eye on, you know, the RBA and the RBNZ and the central banks of Europe and the UK, of course, to see what they're going to do next shapes up possible new trends for 2025. And maybe one of the most important things to watch is not necessarily do those central banks forecast more rate cuts suddenly, which of course is a possibility, but really specifically keeping an eye on the Fed, because it seems to be a bit of the outlier in the group. If they cave too, then perhaps that dollar strength, and what I mean by cave is this concept of they too start to join the faster rate cut story, it could take some of the air out of this dollar bullish trend that we've seen. That being said, if we continue to see the story playing out as we do, which is right now, US economic data continuing to roll in relatively strong, meanwhile, other places seeing slowing numbers, seeing probabilities for rate cuts increase, that divergence is what we could continue to see some strong trends. I mean, take a look, for example, just off top of mind, the euro, the pound, the Kiwi dollar, the Australian dollar, all against the US dollar, have really been trending very strongly in one direction for a while. The answer to whether or not that continues is very much in upcoming data, I think, out of the US. For me, top of mind in December is let's watch those NFP numbers this Friday out of the US. Let's watch the CPI report that comes out, and let's see what the Fed says. Not only do they cut or not this December, but really, what is the guidance for 2025 from the Fed? Is there probabilities that we continue to see cuts coming, or are they going to sort of put a pin in it and stop on the rate cut plans and just really remain data dependent? So those two stories could either reverse this dollar trend or really elongate it and continue that theme that we've seen in recent months into 2025. So I think some of those upcoming reports and the upcoming meeting hold the key to a lot of the currency moves going into new year.
And finally, Kenny, the Australian dollar has taken a bit of a battering today, hasn't it?
That's correct, Johnny. The Australian dollar against the US was down as much as 1.2% today. Right now, it's about 0.8%, but still a very sharp drop. A bit surprising, because the reaction was against the Australian GDP. Usually, we see the Australian dollar show these kinds of moves against inflation reports or employment reports, but not as much with GDP. What happened with GDP for the third quarter is it actually did go up from 0.2% to 0.3% in the third quarter, but it did miss the forecasts of 0.5%. And I think we can look at two reasons why investors really gave the GDP report a thumbs down. First of all, if you look into the GDP report itself, there was almost no private consumption. This has happened for a second straight quarter. We're just not seeing the consumer spending that we need as a engine growth for the economy. And that's a real problem as far as future growth, which doesn't bode well for the Australian economy. And I think the second reason is that the weak GDP, it comes after several quarters of 0.2%. So we're seeing just a weak economy. Today's weak GDP puts more pressure on the central bank, on the Reserve Bank, to lower rates. Nick had talked about the Fed being an outlier compared to the other central banks. Well, certainly the Reserve Bank of Australia is an outlier in the sense that it has not lowered rates in over a year. So they still are sticking with the higher for longer approach. The RBA has mentioned that they're very concerned with underlying inflation, even though headline inflation is back to around 2% within the target, 2 to 3% target. But they are still very hesitant to lower rates. And the markets have actually priced in a rate cut not till about May, but with today's GDP report, we could see a rate cut even earlier next year. And that, of course, makes the Australian dollar a bit less attractive to investors. So it's one reason why we're seeing the Australian dollar go down, because the RBA may be forced to lower rates faster than was anticipated until today.
Very interesting. Thanks for joining us today, guys. We'll speak to you very soon.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thanks very much. Great being with you today.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.